Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, your podcast from the Over the Monster Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start for your Boston Red Sox. I'm your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined as always by Bailey Von Schneider. Bailey, nice little, quick little two-game series, and the good news was, after the first game, there was no way the Red Sox could lose.
This is true.
about time for one of those.
Yeah, and it was a good first game. So the first game saw Whitlock versus Wright, and Whitlock didn't have his best start. He only lasted 3 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits. He walked 4, which is very unlike him. He usually doesn't walk anybody. He had 5 Ks, and then they brought Danish, who did 2 shutout innings. He got the credit for the win, and then we had Brazier, Robles. Schreiber finished off the 8th and 9th for the save. The offense actually showed up. Like, they were getting 2 out hits, which was kind of crazy, you know. We got 6 runs topped off by a Devers grand slam. Bogarts added 3 hits. Story added 2. We had 2 RBIs. So it looked like they could potentially be coming out of it, especially if you start to get Story to really start hitting, and then if you have Devers hitting, like, this, the offense could potentially come together. So it's interesting that, you know, when we don't get the best start from Whitlock, the offense comes alive. So that seems to sort of be this weird thing that the Red Sox have, where it's like, all of a sudden, all the pitching will look really good, and the hitting can't hit. And then when the pitching struggles, all of a sudden, they'll score 9 runs. You know, so it's interesting. What did you think about Whitlock's start?
Yeah, it was interesting. Obviously, the walks were a bit uncharacteristic, drove the pitch count way up.
Yeah.
82 pitches when he got pulled after the third inning, which very unlike him, but only allowed 4 hits. The 4 walks was weird. The 3 runs off of that kind of makes sense, but 5 strikeouts in 3 innings, pretty solid. Did give up 1 home run, but for as awkward of a start as it was, it was still a pretty decent start, even though it was short. 3 runs is tough, but obviously, you know, the Red Sox offense had bailed him out already by that time, with 6 runs in the second inning.
Yeah.
So that was really good to see. And especially with Trevor Story, he was my, I guess, spoiler alert, he was my MVP of the series here. Mm-hmm. This game for the offense, it felt like the breakout game that they needed for me.
Yes.
Because Kyle Wright, coming into this, had like one of the better ERAs in the National League and had been pretty much dominating everybody that he had come up against. The Red Sox to get 6 runs off of them in an inning was completely unexpected. I thought they were going to get steamrolled this game and kind of went the other way. So that felt really good. You know, Bogarts added 3 hits. He just kept being really hot himself. 11 hits total for the team. This kind of felt like that collective Like, just everything was clicking for them. Mm-hmm. And then even on top of that, they left 24 men on base. So, like, they could have done significantly more damage than they did. And they had already done a lot. So it felt like that was a game that was like, oh, yeah, I remember this offense being good. Let's have more of that.
Yes, it can be good. We know it can be good. And maybe this is sort of a turning point. But then when you say it's a turning point, and then when we get into game two, it's like, I don't know. There's just too many like ebbs and flows, I feel like, with this team. And it's just completely frustrating, I feel like.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So, you know, we can dive into that one now. Eovaldi versus Ian Anderson in game two. The Red Sox took the loss 5-3. Eovaldi, pretty good start. 6 1/3, 6 hits. Did give up 3 runs, but only walked 1, struck out 6. Mm-hmm. Not a bad start there. Strom and Schreiber followed with shutout appearances. And then Brazier in the 9th, back-to-back days with an appearance for Brazier, getting up the walk-off 2-run homer. Story did finally hit his first dinger.
Yeah.
J.D. Martinez added two hits. 14 men left on base in this one, so that was kind of tough to swallow there.
Yeah.
But what were your thoughts on Eovaldi's start?
Yeah, it's so... Eovaldi's having, like, the strangest season where it's like, he looks like he has no-hit stuff, and then he's just been giving up home runs at... like an obscene rate for him. Like, he usually never gives up home runs. And then it's like, I understand it's because he throws strikes. So when you throw strikes, you know, those strikes will be hit out. So I do understand that, but it just feels like it's been more than he's ever given up, which is strange. But like overall, it's still like, he's the best pitcher that they have. Like 6 1/3, 3 earned runs. Like you should win that. You should win that stat. That's how I feel, like, truthfully.
Yeah. Do you think going to Brazier on back-to-back days in a tie game there in the 9th was the right move for the bullpen? Or do you think, like, at that point, Diekman had 3 days off.
Yeah.
Might have been a better option there in the 9th.
What
do you think about that move?
Okay, so I love Alex Cora, but I hate Alex Cora's bullpen management. I feel like even when you win a World Series in 2018, I'm still like, his bullpen management isn't great. I think it's his biggest flaw. And I don't know what he does sometimes with some of these choices. And I've never been a big Brazier person. I do understand when Brazier can hit 96 plus, he's going to be more effective. He really isn't effective when he's like under 96. And when he does pitch like that, it's been well, but going back to back on someone like him, it's just, I don't know. It's tough. And this is not even necessarily a game where I can fault the bullpen. I can fault the bullpen management. I feel like you can fault the offense again. Like 14 left on base with a really decent start from Eovaldi. Like, you know, it's just like, I feel like nothing is clicking properly for this team.
No, but I feel like they've got the momentum, though, particularly with Story. So he had the multi-hit game in game one, hit his first home run in game two. It feels like he's starting to turn the corner now.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a huge piece in this offense, scoring more runs. And if they're able to push across even just one more run per game. I mean, think of how many times we've gone into the 9th and one run has been the difference for this bullpen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they lead the league in blown saves with 9. And having just one more run really could have made the difference in most of those. And this is a completely different team. So having Story be able to contribute more offensively with J.D. Martinez, Bogarts, and Devers, I think is going to be huge. And I feel really confident with how he's been over the last week now. It feels like it's happening. And I'm trying not to get too excited. But as you can tell, I'm already too excited. So I'm probably going to get let down. But I'm already there. So why not?
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's just been such a... It's just been, like, I feel like they're toying with all of our emotions because, like, you had game one where it's like, oh, my God, look at how great this team can be. And then you just have game two where you just have a really solid start from Nathan Eovaldi that you should get a win from, and they just don't. So it's just been one of the more frustrating. I mean, 2020, they were just terrible. So it's not even like they could frustrate me because there was like a glimmer of hope. Like, there's glimmers of hope. And I think that's why I get so upset this season.
Yep. definitely with you on that one. Who was your MVP of the series?
Yeah, I was with you. I was with Story. It really looked like he potentially what would be turning a corner. And if he is, like you said, that's really vital for this offense. I really think it's all going to play out well for Story. I think he's going to, you know, I think it's going to be a good acquisition. I mean, if you compare him to Marcus Semien, he's a dang steal, you know?
Yeah,
Semien true. Has just been, oh, God. So, you know, so it's like, you know, everybody that wanted Semien, what would you be saying if, like, the Red Sox gave Marcus Semien that type of a contract? Like, Story's making less money and is being more productive right now. And I think in the long run, Story will be productive for the Red Sox.
Yep, totally agree. And speaking of Semien, we'll take a quick break, come back, and preview the series against the Rangers.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, you are up to the minute standings in the American League East. New York Yankees leading the division at 22-8. The Rays in second, 19-13. Blue Jays in third, 17-15, 6 games back. The Orioles in fourth, 14-18, 9 games back. And the Red Sox are 2.5 back of them at 11-20. The good news is, here we go down to Texas to play the also fifth-placed Rangers at 12-17. Fifth place in the AL West. Pitching matchups here, we've got Pivetta versus Dunning in game one. Red Sox to be determined on Saturday, potentially a call-up or a bullpen day. Really not looking forward to that versus Otto. Whitlock versus old friend Perez in game three. How do we feel about those matchups?
I'm really hoping that this could be a turning point for the Red Sox. Like, when we get into it, I'm going to say, I think this is going to be the first sweep of the season. I feel like this team is actually terrible. I don't think the Red Sox are terrible. I'm Dunning doesn't terrify me at all. Perez doesn't scare me. I'm really not too familiar with Otto. I think this could be a good series for the Red Sox to really start to get back up on their feet.
Yeah, I ended up going Red Sox 2 out of 3. I wanted so badly to go Red Sox sweep, but I just I'm still traumatized by. I just because baseball's weird, and you know, might be a bullpen day, and maybe there's something there, but you know, in my heart, I really wanted to, but I ended up going 2 out of 3. Hey, series win, still good, step in the right direction, so we'll take that. I feel the same. I'm not worried about Dunning. Don't know much about Otto. Perez, not really worried about that. Pivetta, this seems like a get-right game for him. He's kind of... He's been figuring his stuff out. And so if he's going to get it figured out, this would be a great one to do it. Feel like Whitlock's going to have himself a great game. But whatever they do in game two, they should be able to piece that together enough, whether that's a call-up or a bullpen, to put together a win there. So... feel pretty solid. The lineup that the Rangers are rolling out there, Brad Miller leading off, Marcus Semien hitting second, Corey Seager hitting third, Jonah Heim hitting fourth, Adolis Garcia hitting fifth, Cole Calhoun, then Nathaniel Lowe, Nick Solak, Eli White hitting ninth. Not a whole lot there offensively. They spent a whole buttload of money on that middle infield, and it's not doing a whole lot right now.
Nope.
Any trouble you foresee there in that lineup?
I mean, like you said, there's on paper, like Semien and Seager should scare you, but Semien is one of the worst hitters right now in baseball. So it's crazy. So, I mean, maybe nothing really scares me. I mean, I think that the only one that potentially can scare you is still Seager. Like, he's good still. Yeah. He's going to run into something. But overall, that lineup does not terrify me in the slightest. And I mean, no. If you want to go for the bag and be stuck in Texas for like over a decade, like, good on you, Corey. Like, you already won your championship. You couldn't win anything more if you tried. Like, I'm pretty sure a World Series MVP, I think he was even the NLCS MVP. So I get it. Go for your bag. But now you're literally stuck in Texas. So.
Yeah. You know, the average could be better there. But he's got, you know, 7 home runs. He's still getting on base. But given what's around him, don't pitch to him.
Yeah, exactly. Take
your chances with the rest and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I'm definitely with you there. Series, yeah, we already did that. Series prediction on MVP.
I'm gonna go with Pivetta. I think we're gonna get a really, really solid start from him. I really thought he turned a corner in his last one. I'm excited. I think he's gonna go out there and he's gonna really change things for him.
I like it. That's a good one. I went with Devers just because I was hoping to keep that offensive thing rolling.
Yeah.
And if we're picking another offensive MVP, then and things are going in the right direction. So Devers been hot. Let's keep it going. So, all right. Thanks for listening. We have some other great pods on this Over the Monster podcast network. We have the Over the Monster podcast from Matt and Brian. We have the Red Seat that Jake and I do. And we have the Red Sox on Deck pod that Bob and some other co-hosts do. So, keep everything tuned right here to the Over the Monster Podcast Network for everything Red Sox related, because we've got a bunch of good stuff that we're churning out just for you on the weekly. You can find both of us over at Over the Monster, where we do roundtables and stuff. Have you done anything else?
No, not really anything other than, you know, just throwing the recap up after we're done, you know. But I need to get back into doing it all, but my schedule's been wild.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. Any other stuff to plug?
No, you just follow me on Twitter at Frolin89. Everything that I do is right in there in my bio. So yeah, just check it out.
Perfect. You can also find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. Thanks for listening. Join us next week for a nice little recap of hopefully Red Sox series win.